red.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. All right, well, now hear this. All right, well, let's pray. Father, we bless you. We bless you. You do not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He went around doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. So today we believe you want to go around doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. So Father, we give you praise today. Even in our gathering now, you send a word and you heal us. Speak to our hearts, we pray. We will bless your name. We will give you praise. We will seek to lift Jesus high in his rightful place. Be honored, be exalted, be praised. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Exodus. We're not going to go there, so I'm just reminded of it. Exodus 15 and 26. I looked it up just now to make sure I got it right. I am the Lord that heals you. Or I think I prefer the Authorized Version. I am the Lord that healeth thee. God is the same. He does not change. Now, the problem is when we come to healing, it always kind of, if you're not careful, we limit it just to physical. But who knows that we are not just physical. We are mental, we are emotional, we are social. There's all sorts of areas of our existence where we need God to heal us. My wife and I were coming in today talking about a situation. And basically the gentleman was talking about needs a healing. He needs his character healed. So none of us are whole. We are all in the process of being changed, transformed, from glory to glory. And if you meet someone who says they've arrived, kill them before they go off. You know, these people have never... We're all on a journey. That's why be slow to judge others. But that's not for today. Today's scripture, if you wanted one... I was reading a book. One thing about being on holiday, I read quite a number of books, even besides swanning myself in the Caribbean. Yeah, no, it's terrible, really. But I read quite a number of books as well. And one of them, I was reading, and, you know, he had the heading of what this chapter was going to be about. And I thought, cool, I knew that text, but I hadn't really thought about it. So I've been thinking about it, so now you're going to get it. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. I think the danger is for all of us, we know scriptures, but we never kind of think of the implications of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are disqualified? Examine yourself. I think the danger comes like this. We always want God to do a work. I want to wake up tomorrow morning different. But this isn't what this scripture says. It's a work for us to do. Examine yourself. Now we have nursing people with us. Why do we examine ourselves? Easy answer. Huh? To discover our condition. Not necessarily that we are wrong. Hopefully we're not. But we do it to discover our condition. So when he's saying examine yourselves, he's saying, what state are you in? So that's all right so far, not profound, is it? But you need to get that. John in his epistles, 1 John chapter 3 verse 2, you know it. Mrs. Stroud probably preached it yesterday, is she? Behold, I pray, beloved, I pray that you may prosper, do well in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Ready, inside out. What? Even in the natural, examine yourself. We look for things on the outside which may be indicators of what's going on the inside. Is that fair? I'm not proud. I was going to get a white jacket. One of those things. So, this is quite frightening, really, for some of us, because what's on the outside shows what's on the inside, doesn't it? So when people are running up their mouth and got all ugly attitudes and not honest or lazy or... Did I say that? I did, didn't I? It's a reflection of something far deeper. Remember what the scripture says? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what I'm seeing on the outside is a manifestation of something far deeper, usually, of something that's going on the inside. Yes? Oh yeah, I'm going to upset you a little bit. I've been on holiday. Because we need to start seeing this, because sometimes we start tolerating things on the outside, not realizing that something far more crucial may be going on the inside. I went to the doctor's one day, and I said, as you do, I'm sitting there talking. I said, "Doctor, I'm up and down a bit during the night." And he said, "Oh, withdraw blood." So you think, you should have a bit of blood, you know. So just blood. 2 weeks later, I get this phone call. "Mr. Stroud, you need to come and see me. Because something has come up in the blood that says there's something far more fundamental going on inside than you just up and down to the loo." What did I say? Sometimes there's symptoms of things, but there may be something far more concerning going on. Now we're talking in the spiritual sense. Examine yourself and see what's going on. Our inner condition affects our well-being. Often the outer tells us something's going on the inside. So what does an examination do? Examination determines our condition. Not only does it determine our condition, but it also indicates whether it needs treatment or not. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world that's telling us, examine yourself. And yet in the kingdom, we don't. We just meander along and tolerate conditions. You love me, don't you? Of course you do. Smile at me. You're looking very serious. Am I a bit slow? I'll get there in a minute. Why do we not go for examinations? Good question. Well, because you're a man. I know men are worse. But why don't we go for examinations? Generally, because we might even have the symptoms, but we don't want the diagnosis. Is that true?
Yes.
We don't go for an examination, even though we may know there are things that aren't quite right. If I pretend it ain't there, it'll go away. In fact, probably it won't. It'll only get worse. So, why don't I go? Really, because I don't want the answer. And that's the truth of it. But in most cases, if left untreated, it only gets worse. And it's true in you and my spiritual lives. That's what I'm trying to say. If we don't have this examination and there is a condition, if we do not recognize it and treat it, it will only get worse. Get off. And what's he say the condition is? We need to find out if we are in the faith. If I've still got faith. Am I still believing? The Message Bible says it like this. Make sure you ain't drifting. Cruise control in the spiritual life is so easy, isn't it? I'm saved. So I've started on a journey. Where are you going? I'm going to heaven. How are you going to get there? Oh, I'm in cruise control. Examine yourself. Don't drift along. Listen to this one. New Century Version. Check out you're still living in the faith. New Living Translation. Is what I've got really genuine? Check out your condition about your spiritual life. Hebrews 11:1 says this, now faith is. When is faith? Now. Not yet, oh, Brother Stroud, you should have seen me 20 years ago. Oh, I was in love with Jesus. Oh, and in the future, when I get to heaven, in the blue, by and by. But what about the bit in between? Faith is now. In fact, Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Who wants to please God? Hopefully you all do. If you want to please God, you've got to have faith. Well, I know in my own life there's a tendency to cruise control. So I need to examine. Where am I now? I'm excited about what God's doing in the earth, actually. I'm living in a great age. But I need to get faith to start believing rather than where it's always been like this. Look at that political party. Look what Donald Trump's doing. Look at this. Look at that. Look at this. Look at that. Look at that. No, I need to have faith to believe that God wants to do something in the earth. Not because of, but despite of. And that's all politics, by the way. That's not a kind of flag waving for anything. Are you still believing? Ah, well, yeah, when I was young, I used to believe like that. Do you know what? I think some of your saints have got so much more if they would only believe, because they've proven God. They've got an arsenal to draw from, because they've proven God. Don't let age be an excuse to do nothing. I had a lovely holiday. It's very sunny. It's true, though, isn't it? I'm not a young... Well, I'm still youthful. Youthful. But we need to be careful. We don't... So how do I know what my condition is? Well, firstly, you're not going to like this, but you can't trust yourselves. Who gets in front... No, men. You're right, no, so you get away with it. But yeah... You walk by the mirror and think, we can't trust ourselves. We lie to ourselves. And the danger is, it's very dangerous, this one, that we won't make allowances for others, but we'll make allowances for ourselves. Did I say that, Pastor? I did, didn't I? It's funny, we see the problems in others. God, look at that fat old boy. But we can't sit in ourselves. We need to be so careful. Just throw this one in passing. The way we judge is the way we will be judged. And the measure we give is the same mercy. And to get mercy, we must... Just thought I'd throw that one in passing. Yeah, it's a convenient one to throw. We can't judge ourselves. Listen to this, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now that's true before you get saved. But I think when you get saved, if you are not careful, old ways of thinking, old things that were acceptable, old habits, old this, start creeping back in. And the abnormal becomes normal, and we accept things. That's why we can't trust ourselves. So how can we get a good diagnosis? How can we know what the problem is? Well, praise God, God don't leave us to ourselves. What we need is truth. You don't want to go to the doctors and, you know, something's seriously wrong, and he sort of says, oh, don't worry, mate, you'll be all right. But doctor, I'm coughing up blood and my arm's hanging off. No, don't worry. Give it a few days, you'll feel better. But doctor, what I really need is truth. Is that right? Yeah. That's why Jesus said, John 16. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. In John 17:17, Jesus said this, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. In John 8:32, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ready? The Spirit of truth takes the word of truth and sets us free because we know the truth. So once I know what my condition is, I can do something about it. Are we getting there? So I now examine myself in the light of God's word, and by his Spirit, they show me where I am and what I'm not. And my attitude about. And my response to. And my propensity toward. Come on, that's a big word, isn't it? Big word. But the Spirit of God, if we come to this book with an open heart, will speak, because he is the Spirit of truth, he will take the truth and show us the way it is. And that gives us an opportunity to respond to the truth, and that when we respond, that truth sets us free. Right? Good. You're good to dinner now. Listen to this. Well, here we go. Ready? Search me, O God. Oh, yes. Oh, Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way within me. Yeah? So now God's found it. How's he going to reveal now? He's found the condition. How is he going to reveal the solution? By his word, through his Spirit. Who's ever sat down with their Bible, feeling quite healthy, and all of a sudden God speaks to your heart about a situation, about a person, about a condition, about a something, and you think, oh my God, what? Then, having exposed our condition, we are confess, and a healing comes. Amen? Good. That's why we started off with Exodus 15:26. I am the Lord that healeth thee. God's got one intention for you and I. Well, many intentions, but one I can speak on today. That's to make us whole. See, there's one difference between being healed and being made whole. You know that? Of course you do. Remember the story of the lepers? 10 of them. Jesus heals them all. One comes back. Jesus says to him, your faith has made you whole. 9 were healed. one was made whole. You're going to get indigestion thinking about this when you get home. But it says, this trouble is so often. We come to the Lord with a situation, he touches us and heals us. But maybe he wants to take it further. Maybe he wants to make us whole. All right, I thought it was pretty good anyway. Jerusalem Bible, you know, search me, oh God. What about this one? Ready? Examine me and know my heart. Probe me. Know my thoughts. Examine me. When was the last time you said, God, I really want you to tell me the way it is? You all know this story. It's William Oliver Cromwell being painted by, is it Gainsborough? And Gainsborough is painting him and trying to do a good job. Well, the trouble with Oliver Cromwell is he had warts. And Gainsborough left them all out. He didn't look really nice with warts, did it? So he says, Anna, warts and all. And that's where the saying comes from. See, God will speak to us and show us warts and all. Because he wants to heal us and make us whole. All right, I'm getting stuck, so I'm going to move on a bit. What happened when you got saved? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says this, and you who were dead in sins, he made alive. One of my favourite scriptures. Because I was having a good time before I got saved. Not worried about the consequences. But now I've got life. And we need to be those who have got life. But the Bible says this. When you got saved, something wonderful happened. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says this. He who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with the Lord. God communicates to me by his spirit in here. Is that fair? See, the problem is too many of us are walking down the road thinking, any minute the sky is going to open and God will speak. God's been speaking to you since you got out of bed. And God will speak to you when you go to bed. And if you want to believe in dreams and visions, God don't stop speaking to you. But how? Where? In my spirit. So this diagnosis business is in here. Tomorrow, when you're reading your Bible, the Spirit of Truth will take the Word of Truth. And he will speak it in. You all know what I'm telling you now. You sit there and you get that. Where on earth did that come from? Or something starts growing in you, a growing awareness that I need to do something about this. And that's what I'm saying, how God brings a healing to each one of us. Listen to this, Jerusalem Bibles. Oh, I'll change, for time's sake. Ready? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. You all know this one, you're Christian people. Now the word of the Lord is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting to make a division between soul and spirit. See, so much of my stuff, so much is soulish. And I need truth to come and speak to my heart. Even better, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents, the motives. So now it shows me whether it's soul or spirit, what are my motives? Why though? To bring a healing. If we don't stop and examine ourselves, or if we're looking for another make me happy text, or if, good line, what have you got underlined in your Bible? Oh, Brother Stroud, I've got a promise box. Have you got a commandment box? Have you got an obedience box? That's a good one, isn't it? I think I might try to sell them in Christian bookshops. I do not think they'll be the best seller. But, you know, who's old enough to remember when you used to be able to get a promise box? Come on, them little cards, you pull them out and make your happy days. But the same God who promised gave commandments. And it will be if you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God, humble to obey all the commandments that I set before you today. Then all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. That's for another throwaway. So it makes this distinction. It cuts us, shows us the way we are. My last point is an easy, quick one, is this. Psalm 107. So I've gone to the doctors now. He's examined me. He knows my condition. What is the remedy? Repent. No, that's not. It might be. But that's Psalm 107 verse 20 says this. He sends a word and heals us and delivers us from our destruction. For the same word that he uses to convict us is the same word he will use to heal us. He wounds to what? To heal. Always remember that God wounds to heal. So back to the doctor when I went, and he said, you've got the screaming what's-its. I had to go and have treatment to remedy it. God's remedy is his word. Our care, that's all you ever preach. What more do I need to preach? Jesus and God's remedy for life. His word and his spirit. Yeah, I really, that'd do me. I could preach them for the rest of my life, really. Because all the rest, if there's this inner condition, we can run around the church, speaking in other tongues, rolling around on the floor. And I'm for it. I love it. But if the core is rotting away, then it's only a matter of time before the outward man follows suit. That's why we need to examine ourselves. Where are you with God? Really? Are we in cruise? Oh, I get a bit worried lately, really, that people are praying, oh God, we want revival. I want revival. So God says there's a price to revival. I don't want to pay the price. Then you don't want revival. If with all your heart you seek me, you shall ever surely find me, says the Lord. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, but when he does, and he will sit as a refiner, refines. So we need to be those who are saying, God, I want to get serious. I know there's things in my life I tolerate. I must be the only one. Forgive me, Pastor, for I have sinned. Oh, yeah, but. Get your butt out of the way. examine me again. Try me. Show me. But if I'm not reading his Bible, what is he going to speak to me? If I don't come with an open heart, what ground has truth got to settle on? I read my Bible almost every day. To say every day would be a lie. I try to read my Bible every day. Big deal. If I don't read my Bible with an open heart, if I just dutifully read my allotted amount of chapters, and what have you done? At best, you've accumulated knowledge. If your medicine's not being taken, if you're not put yourself in the place, on the couch, and say, God, I know there are. I'm looking at the outside. Without getting really deeply spiritual, none of you, but I'm looking on the outside. I get angry. I get this. I get that. I don't particularly. My wife will tell you that. I don't. But for some, I get angry. I get or. Yeah, it's different strokes for different folks. But usually what's on the outside, it's a reflection of what's going on the inside. Augustine said this, our hearts are restless until they rest in God. But you know, it's so easy to spout a catch-all, isn't it? But what about this area of my heart? What about that area of my heart? It still needs to be in God. Does that make sense for you today? I realise I've been a bit disjointed. There's lots more I could have said. But I'm so aware that maybe it's my delicate age that if it's not careful, cruise control is easy. Let's be honest, just slap it in cruise or put it in cruise. Does that mean you won't get to heaven? Of course not. But does it mean maybe I could have had a bit more heaven on earth and enjoyed the journey a bit more? So I'm not here to tell you off or anything. I think my job is this. I've always said this. A preacher's job is to make you think. Not to give you the answers, but we are to make you think. If I could leave one thing with you today, it would be this. Examine yourself and see that you are in the faith. Test. What captured me about this? Three times he says yourself. Test yourself. For do you not yourselves know that Jesus Christ is in you? He who has begun. Let's try again. He who has begun.
Good work.
Now leave you half done.
No.
He shall complete it. That's the intention on God's heart. And all he's looking for us is to say, do your work, God. Shall we pray? As I say, I could have hooted a bit, but it's truth that sets us free. And now we stand before an all-seeing, all-knowing God who knows us in and out, up and down. Who knows our condition. He's a God who we can't hide from. The Bible puts it really well, and I'm not going to get into this, but it says, we are all naked before the one with whom we have to deal. And I like that. You go to the doctors and he says, all right, throw everything off, I just want to have a look. We are all naked before the one with whom we have to do, physically and spiritually. Adam and Eve, what's the first thing they did when they got found out? Try to cover up. I think God's saying to us today, don't cover up. Just examine yourself. Let me show you the condition. Then humbly come before me and I will fix it. For my aim and my purpose is to make you whole. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Can we not stand in the presence of God today? And those of you who can we raise our hands to heaven? And just bless the Lord for his goodness to us, that he does not give up on us, that he does not abandon us, that his mercy is new. So much so is of his mercies we are not consumed. He wants to show us what's going on in our lives. He wants to show us the condition that we may humbly come before the throne of grace. Say, heal me, O God. Heal me. Apply the scalpel of your truth. It's alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Speak to your servant, Lord, that we can just come and be made whole. And we thank you for it today. We thank you that you are committed to finishing that work in our life. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for Jesus. We bless your lovely name. Come on, just bless the Lord. Where would we be if it wasn't for the goodness of God? How helpless and helpless we sinners had been if Christ had not loved us and cleansed us from sin. Father, we are helpless and hopeless, and yet you in your sovereign grace and by your Spirit reach out and touch our lives. Oh, we give you praise today. We bless you. We love you. We thank you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the question really in closing is, what are you going to do about it? And that's for you to decide. Amen.